This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
This is Geekcast Radio, episode 356. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me for the second time on this podcast for a Baltimore Comic-Con recap for 2025. This year, as always, it is the Comic Concierge, J.K. Dan Clark. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How about yourself?
I could complain, but you know it happens. You know, you can complain about the lemons, but it doesn't really work out so well for you. So yeah, I was doing some research and and I'm like, holy crap, we've only done this now twice, but the last time we did this was in 2022. Like, how did we not do this for 2 years, 3 years? But I had seen some of your Comic Concierge posts on various social medias and other places, and obviously you cross-post those to Geekcast Radio's website, our lovely website over there at geekcastradio.com, and you were doing your comic book creators recommend comic videos, and I just caught up with that series right before we recorded and all of that. And so I figured, hey, you know, let's do a Comic-Con convention attention recap. And that's what we've been doing the last couple of years, I think ever since 2021. I think I said this in the New York Comic-Con episode with my buddy Brad. I've been doing convention stuff for, I don't know, the longest time. I think the earliest times was like 2010. We just never had a name for it, and then somehow, some way, a couple years ago, when my buddies Matt and Chris, when we started doing their ECCCCCCCCC, because Emerald City has too many C's after it, we started doing conventions for them out there, because they do the West Coast stuff. I was like, hey, let's call it something. And I came up with convention attention. Of course, after searching Google and Apple and every other, no, seriously, you have to literally search every other thing in the world, in the World Wide Web, to make sure your name is not taken by anything else. And granted, this is just a thing that's under Geekcast Radio for the thing, but still, it's like, oh my God, you didn't do your research, and oh God, it's a whole thing. So, Baltimore Comic-Con 2025, how many years have you been going to Baltimore Comic-Con?
Oh, it's been about a decade now, probably 2015, 2014 was my first year or so, So yeah.
Very cool, very cool. How do you usually prepare to go? Like, what are you, when they announce that, hey, the next convention is going to be this date, how do you usually prepare for it?
Well, I'm in the area, so I don't have to prepare too much. Mostly just seeing, because sometimes I have friends that come in, sometimes I don't. I like to see who the creators are that they'll have. They have a lot of people that are there pretty much every year, like Walt Simonson and Louis Simonson are there every year. There are some other people. Mark Waid is usually there every year. But I like to see, like, what creators are going to be there. So just get an idea of, like, who will be there that year. And then, you know, seeing what the panels will be. Usually they'll release that, you know, a few weeks in advance, like, what their panel schedule will be. And I usually try to make more panels. I only got to one this year, but... and then the other piece is, since I've been doing more TikTok videos and things like that, it's just making sure I have the technology that I need. So I had to get, like, since I use my phone so much, I went and invested in portable charger because, you know, that's quickly that battery will go. And I got a new portable mic and whatever they call those, a gimbal as well.
Yep.
So that's really all the preparation beyond that, beyond just like waiting to see who's there. And then once I'm there, I did a video on this. I get their yearly yearbook. They do a special yearbook each year that is dedicated to a different subject matter. This year it was Bone, and what they do is have creators are at the con who will do specific pieces that focus on Bone and typically incorporate their own characters, and they give you this card to go around and get that signed. And usually doing that, I will also, that's where I got the idea last year to, because a lot of people are out there that, like, you know, everyone has a podcast, everyone has something, and I wanted to do something that was quick, and I thought, like, ultimately, like, put the focus on comic books, because that's very much what Baltimore Comic Con is. It's, they do have, like, celebrities here and there. I don't really care about the celebrities. Like, I go for the comic book creators. So I thought something that was quick and easy. So all I did was ask, you know, comic creators to recommend a comic, and so utilizing that yearbook is a kind of a good way of just starting a conversation and then asking to do that. Some people will say no, which is fine. Some people, like, I get it, because, you know, some people just don't want to do video stuff. Some people just, if you say yes to one person, you have to say yes to everyone. But a lot of people, surprisingly, I think, you know, say yes. And sometimes the people I think will say no, will end up like saying yes, like Stan Sakai, for example, the creator of Usagi Yojimbo this year. I was really excited that he was willing to do it, and was very happy to do it. Brian K. Vaughan, he, of course, of Saga, Why the Last Man, so many others. Probably the biggest comic creator that was there. Tom King, usually there every year as well, because he lives down in D.C. He's great, and he's really open to do it as well. But then there are some that didn't want to, which is fine.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my game plan going in. So I spent most of my time doing that, and then occasionally looking for, you know, buying comics in there, here and there too. So
yeah, between Stan and Tom, I was like, okay, that's good gets, very very awesome. And I'm just running down their 2025 guest list, and it is all comic creators.
Yeah, and they had a few celebrities. Like, they had some people from Harry Potter. They had the guy who played Isaiah Bradley. Michael Biehn was there. They had some voice cast from the 90s animated X-Men show.
Mm-hmm.
They did panels with them. I missed most of those. I only made it to one panel, which was on, it was actually about post-apocalyptic stories. And I went there because it had a lot of creators I like, because Donny Cates was there. The guy who did The Last Mermaid for Image was a book I really liked, and Brian K. Vaughan. So I was like, oh, I'll go to that one. And there were some other ones I wanted to go to. They were going to do a panel. They did a panel for the X-Men animated series, the guy who does Wolverine and the person who does Rogue, and then I think the person who does, like, Morph and Professor X were all there, but I missed it because it was just one of those things where I was just trying to get other things done. So
this year it was in October, which is normally when, no, I'm thinking of New York. This year, this was in October though. When is it usually? Is it usually in October? Cause I don't remember.
It varies. It's been as early as Labor Day weekend and as late as, Halloween weekend.
Okay.
So it's usually September, October sometimes. I think they often try to be before New York Comic Con, but I think it's also depending upon, like, when they can get permits and things like that. This year too, it was the same weekend as the Baltimore Running Festival, so like the Baltimore Marathon. So that made it a little difficult for some people to get in. But yeah, it's usually, it varies. It doesn't have a set weekend, but it's usually anywhere beginning of September. This is about average of where it's at. Sometimes a little earlier. I kind of like it being around this time. I don't like it when it's like the same weekend as Halloween, because it just makes things difficult.
Yeah.
But so this was interesting too, because you could tell a lot of the creators who were the Baltimore or New York Comic Con last week. We're at Baltimore this week. We're certainly very, like, you could tell they were feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot to do, especially those that, like, had to go home and come back. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the reason why I ask is because, and I love this, and I mentioned this in the New York episode that we did for the podcast. As soon as the convention is over, the main page of every, and is Baltimore under Reed Pop, or I don't know what.
No, it's okay. I'm pretty sure it's independent. It's like okay. The last independent.
Okay. Most of these conventions, as soon as they're done with whatever that year's convention is, the main page, all you can find is, here's where we'll be next year. Here's all next year's information. And they basically bury the current year's information, like literally the day after the convention is over.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. Like, I get it. You want to get people excited for 2026. Don't get me wrong. This is the first time I've been on any of these convention websites where the thing under the 2026 information, which Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 25th to 27th, 2026, that's the next year's dates, which is great. The 2025 Baltimore Comic Con was thrilled to welcome the stars and voices of your favorite films and shows. So the first thing I did when we were preparing to do this podcast is I searched out Baltimore Comic Con on Google. I went to their main site, which is what I'm on now. But when I did the web search, it also pulled up their specific guest page on the website in under Google. So that's how I've got all the artists, all the writers, all the people you've just mentioned that aren't the celeb, that isn't. You know, Gus from Breaking Bad or Carl Lumley or, you know, all of the, you know, Phineas from, you know, Vincent Martella isn't all the celebrity stuff. And then I go to the website and I'm like, oh, here's all the celebrities. And like you mentioned, Cal Dodd and Allison Court and all of that, Lenore Zahn and whatever else. Cause I'm like, oh, interesting how the guest list doesn't even show any of those. Oh, right. They're on the main page cause they're the celebrities. So I always find it interesting how certain Comic-Con websites are laid out and how they present themselves before, during, and after the convention of that specific year. And between New York and Baltimore, it's been vastly different experiences for me trying to get information.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, so they did Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they don't do Wednesday, Thursday. They're not a 5-day convention. They're just the 3-day.
No.
Well, I don't know. You know,
it's more like a mid-sized con.
Yeah,
it's not. You know, it's not the tier of like a New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. But it's also like, you know, it's, I think it has far more creators than I think a lot of other like smaller cons. So it's about mid-tier.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, and like when I was going down the guest list of all the creators, I was like, this really is a comic convention. And I don't say that disparagingly to any of the celebrity guests that show up, because I know some of those celebrity guests that do show up to a lot of these conventions, some of them really do like comic. Like, I know when Michael Rosenbaum goes to conventions, yeah, he's probably promoting Smallville or whatever other thing, or maybe he's promoting doing his own podcast thing with Inside of You or whatever, but I know he is a comic book fan.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do this stuff if he wasn't. But it's really nice to see a convention that puts comic people first.
Yeah, like, and you hear that a lot.
Writers and artists and yeah.
You hear that a lot from the creators there too, because I know a lot of creators, when they talk about some of the other cons, there's a big difference in between the way like celebrities are treated and comic book creators are treated, and from the conversations I had from the people that were there, it's the creators there feel much more welcome and respected, and they're like, they've taken care of, I would say. So it's, you get a lot of positive feedback, which I think is why they get so many people returning, so many like specialists, you know, legends like a Howard Chaykin or, like I said, Walt and Larry Simonson. They're there every single year, like, and they always the Simonsons always have the biggest lines too, which I think is amazing because it's even this year with like a Brian K. Vaughan and well, I guess this year Jeff Smith had probably the biggest line, the creator of Bone.
Bone, yep.
So, but yeah.
Oh, who was it? Who did you do the video with? You did the video with one of the record. Was it the Stan video that you asked him to recommend something, and he said something?
Stan Sakai recommended Bone, yeah.
But is that what you... No. Who was the one that recommended the Brian K. Vaughan thing?
And Tom King recommended.
That's what it was. Tom King. So, folks, I'm gonna have some sort of link in the show notes to this episode, so you can go catch all of Dan's videos on GeekCastRadio.com. But Tom King recommended something from Brian K. Vaughan because he was literally right across the hall from him. And Tom in the video is like, yeah, and Brian's over there, you know, you can barely see him because his line's a mile long.
I got lucky with Brian K. Vaughan too, because he came back and like his line had like three people in it. And I thought, because they had a special signing event. So I'm like, oh, is a signing event going on right now? And they're like, no, it's free right now. So I got in line. It was like, there's only like four people there. So,
very cool.
So that made it. Yeah. So that was nice. There were some people I wanted to see, like I wanted to see Paul Pope because I'm a big fan of him, but his line was like, every time his line came up, it was super long and I just was, it had to kind of manage my time. Same thing with Jeff Smith.
Yeah.
So, but still got to meet a lot of other people, which was great.
Yeah, that's the thing I said, and I'm sorry, audience. Y'all know how I am. I repeat myself a lot. I said in the New York episode, I'll say it here. I wish conventions would offer packages for certain fan. Like, if a convention is going to highlight a certain fandom, or if it's going to have a certain amount of people from a certain fandom, and say that, like the example I used in the New York episode was Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
If you're going to have Will Friedle, if you're going to have Dana Tan, if you're going to have any of the other voice actors, if you're going to have Bruce Timm, if you're going to have anybody, give me instead of a 4-day pass or instead of a blah, 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 whatever, give me a Batman Beyond package where I can go for a day and that's where I'm going. Like, I want to go to a convention to have a tailored experience for myself. I don't want to have to go to any convention. I don't care how big or small it is, because I don't do well with large or small crowds, where I can just be pointed in the right direction, go do it, and then go home. That's how I personally am. I understand that's not how everyone is, but to have an option like that for someone like me would be really cool, I think.
You can get, like, Brian K. Vaughan had a package where you can get specific tickets, and then you would get your normal tickets, and it would include, like, they have a special spotting event.
Yeah.
That was, you know, like, you know, I don't know how long it was, but
yeah, and that's
there was like, there was stuff like that. And they did that for a number of the creators and some of the guests too. But yeah, I don't know if they would have anything in the Baltimore Con that would really suit that. They had like a little thing for Ghostbusters and stuff like that, but there isn't really, outside of those specific tickets for the creators, I don't know if there's anything that they could have that would.
No. I think my point is, like, Disney World is so large. Comic conventions, most of them are so large. I mean, unless it's, like, really small. But, like, you take New York, San Diego. San Diego, obviously, is much larger than New York. But, like, I need direction. I don't just want to be let loose and be drowned in the sea of everybody trying to figure out where to go and what to do first, because there's so much choice. I need a TV guide. I need a convention guide here. Show me which channel to turn to first. And you know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. So I understand that maybe Baltimore isn't big enough to do that or something, but I just wish that there was something like that just for any convention, not just Baltimore specifically.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because,
yeah,
I mean, it's you can do that. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're looking for specifically.
It is. I don't know either.
I feel like you want the convention without the convention.
Kind of. So,
yeah.
That's why I stay home and do podcasts.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, with Baltimore's a good side because it doesn't get, like, even this weekend, it didn't get too bad. Like, it wasn't. You could still have conversations with people, and, like, you can move around, and you know, it wasn't, like, I've been to New York Comic Con, and it's, like, it's just, you know, a sea of people. It didn't get that bad. So, I mean, kind of, and that's why it's good to be there when you're, because I go all 3 days. That's what, you know, the Friday is great just to get a lay of the land, know where people are at. If there are specific creators that, like, there are ones that I know that are going to be busier over the weekend that try to focus on more, and then Saturday, and then, you know, they have the panel schedules too. And I think too, if you're looking for, like, oh, I don't want, you know, I want to be able to be guided, then panels are a good option, because usually panels aren't super packed depending upon the size of the con. But, like, even, you know, with Baltimore, there's you get some people, but they're usually, like, mid-size, and you get some good conversations going with different things and from a variety of topics. Like, there are some that focus on certain creators and, you know, on a variety of different issues. So if you wanted something that's more, like, I want, you know, kind of laid out and specific, panels are a good way to go, because you can kind of guide you that way.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you went to all 3 days. Let's go through how did your Friday start?
My Friday was interesting because my kids were with me, because they had Friday off, because I don't even know why. It was a statewide teachers and service day. So I spent, like, my friend Greg came down, who I used to do Talking with Circus with, and we actually got a hotel this weekend and stayed in the city. I live not that far away. I live in Baltimore City, but not, like, in the Inner Harbor. So we got us, because of the running festival, we thought it'd be easier just to have a room. So we went and checked in. And then I took my kids to the convention. We walked around. I just kind of hung out, found some stuff for them. And there was actually a lot of stuff for them for toy-wise. There was a lot. They're really into Pokemon. There was a ton of Pokemon stuff. There was also a lot of Godzilla stuff. My oldest is huge into Godzilla. And then after that, I mentioned the yearbook. I went around and talked to some people, got some videos done for some of the creators, like... I hit up Tom King because his line is usually one of the longest, and a few other people. So that was kind of my Friday. And then Saturday, it was kind of a lot of the same. That was basically most of my day. Was just, there were certain things I was eyeing out. Like, there was found an absolute for Watchmen, and it was going for $60, but it was like, but it's also huge and heavy. So I'm like, I'm going to wait. And I waited out until, like, the final day, and I'm glad I waited, because that stand ended up slashing its prices in half, so I ended up getting it for $30. But Saturday was mostly just, I went to one panel, like I mentioned, and then was mostly going around with the Baltimore Yearbook, trying to get that signed, and speaking with creators, and doing some, you know, some of the videos. Was majority of my Saturday was kind of getting that done, so.
Very cool, very cool. And then what about Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday was mostly the same. I wasn't there long for Sunday. By that time, I was kind of like, I got what I needed, and I was just a little bit, I was conned out, like, by that point. So we left. I was only there Sunday for a couple hours, and got the last few interviews done, and that's really, it was like, I was going to spend majority of my money on Sunday. So that's when I bought most of my books. I got some stands that were like 5 for $20. And I actually don't do single issues anymore. I donated majority of my single issues to a local comic book store. So if I do buy comics physically, it's mostly just trades or
graphic novels or whatever. Yep.
So yep. I got that. Got some trades. So got a few trades, like I mentioned, Watchmen Absolute and some other like 5 for $20 deals and stuff. So that was most of my Sunday, and then headed home. So But yeah, it was overall, I love Baltimore. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Like I said, I wish I got to some more panels, and there's some people I wanted to see I didn't see. But had a lot of great conversations. I talked to Aaron Campbell a lot for a pretty good long time. He's the artist of, he did the comic Infidel. He's done Hellblazer. That book was my favorite book of the year when it came out. So it was great talking to him. I talked to Sarah Meyer. They're doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Saturday morning cartoon book now. The art in that, and also the great graphic novel called Monstrous, which had a video on. But a really great conversation with Sarah about a lot of different things, and even off, like even not even doing the video piece, because Sarah's from the area actually lives in Baltimore, so. Talking to them about a bunch of different things. So it was really good having the cool thing about comics, like when you know, with movies, there's no way you can have a conversation with someone, you can have a convention like this and talk to all these different type of actors or directors. But comics, there's a closer connection between the fans and the creators, which sometimes can be a bad thing, but a lot of times can also be a really good thing too, like with this, because for me, like Stan Sakai, like I equate him to someone as big as like Martin Scorsese in the sense of their talent and impact on me. So being able to like have a conversation with him, legitimately like the nicest guy in the world. He's like so kind and so great with his time, and that's, you see that really throughout. Like a lot of comic creators are super nice. Mark Waid, Walt Simonson, Howard Chaykin is a bit prickly, but in a good way. He's just hilarious to be around. Like. This is like he tells great stories. If he does a panel, always advise like listening to. I missed his panel this year, but Howard Chaykin is like, I think he would like him because he's kind of a grump, but like a good kind of grump. Like he likes to just like go off on like millions of different things. But probably my favorite conversation I had was with James Robinson, who does not do a lot of cons in America. So that was great. Like talking to him because I've really loved a lot of his books this year. And he's legitimately had quite the career with Starman and so many comics. So, and there's a few people like I tried to go up to, and it didn't like Esad Rubik, like it didn't really click very well. There's a little bit of a language barrier there. It was just kind of awkward.
And it's okay though. I mean,
it wasn't. Yeah.
All you can clear. Do is. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and to be clear, he wasn't mean or anything. It was just like
So,
also had like an awkward exchange with Klaus Janson, not like because he was eating at the time and I didn't realize it. I was trying to have a conversation and like didn't. So yeah, so it was one of those things, but it was great overall though. So
yeah, but. I mean, look, all you can do is ask. If they say yes, awesome. If they say not right now or no, I'm not, I don't want to do, it's not into my, if they decline, they decline and that's okay. But you have to ask or else you're never going to know.
Yeah. It was cool too. Cause I did get recognized a couple of times, which was weird, but like a good weird. That was really cool. Comic book creator, which was really cool because that's to me was like the coolest thing, because it's when like a creator likes my stuff and thinks I'm doing a good job on the way I approach comics, like that, I'm like, oh, that's good, because like that feel like, oh, I actually do know what I'm talking to. I feel like I have some form of understanding if a comic book creator is complimenting me on what I'm like, a well-established like really creator that I have utmost respect for. So but yeah, I think Baltimore Comic Con is a great first con to go to if you've never been to one, because like I said, especially if you're a comic fan, it's fantastic because there are so many like legendary creators and new, and there's Artist Alley. I also like talking to some of the the people that aren't names, like that are not guests, that are there in Artist Alley, or like I talked to some people that are just a guy who was selling his book. He actually partnered with like a comic book store that was there. And those are great stories too, because that can then in a few, maybe in a year or two, he could be a big name. Like, remember Tom King when he first came to Baltimore Comic Con? He was just the guy in Artist Alley selling his novel next to the bathroom, and now he's like one of the biggest names in comics. That doesn't always happen, but it's cool seeing that journey when it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everyone has a story, and everyone's story is important in one way or another. No matter where it starts, where it currently is, or where it ends, it just doesn't matter.
Certainly.
I don't think this was ever going to be a thing, but man, oh man, it would have been awesome if a certain I Hate Fairyland creator would have been there this year.
he was there 2 years ago, I believe. Yeah, because I got books signed from him. I got The Wizard of Oz book signed by Scotty Young, but he wasn't.
Yeah,
I believe he's on the West Coast. So he comes every great and once in a while, but
yeah,
I've met him. There are some people. There's some creators that I've never met that I really want to. Like Ed Brubaker is on the top of that list, but unfortunately Scotty Young wasn't there this year. Hopefully next year. You never know, but
hopefully. What was your favorite part of the con this year?
I would say it's just like the conversations I was able to have with. Some, like I said, like having conversations with some up and coming creators, but my favorite ones was like having, I had a pretty long conversation with Aaron Campbell, which was kind of cool. We talked about a whole lot of different stuff about comics and James Robinson as well. Cause I was talking about Welcome to Main Yard, and I think comic creators really appreciate it when you like spell out something specific you like about a book. So I talked about Welcome to Main Yard and specifically this one page that includes this family, not this family, but this couple, and you kind of see their entire relationship in one page. And we were talking about that for a while. And then also was talking to David F. Walker, who is another favorite creator of mine. And I was talking to him about his run on Luke Cage, Power Man and Iron Fist, and eventually went to Luke Cage. And one of my favorite single issues he did was this last issue of Luke Cage, where it was just Luke Cage telling a bedtime story to his daughter. And I mentioned that. And then we're talking about that a bit. And he mentioned that the reason he did that was because editorial would not let him use Jessica Jones or their daughter the entire time. And then when he found out the book was being canceled, he's like, all right, well then I guess I'll just go ahead and do this then. So
do it anyway. Yeah.
So that was interesting to me. It also goes to show a lot of times people will complain about things in comics about like why certain things aren't happening. And I don't think people understand like a lot of things like, why aren't you using this character? Why aren't you doing this? And sometimes it's not always up to the creator. And that was just a reminder of that. So, that was my favorite thing, was like having those conversations with them, especially like I mentioned, like James Robinson, because this is the first time he's been in this con, I think, in nearly like 8-9 years. So, you know, it's pretty. And then I didn't mention Sansakai. I didn't talk to him for a long time because his line was a lot longer. But like I met him before, so this was the second time I met him. But still, it was great meeting him again.
Very cool. Very cool. So we don't often like to talk about negatives, but I ask this to, and one of the reasons why I do convention attention is to show people listening to this, if they want to go to the con, of what to avoid or what maybe the con can do better or whatever. Were there any negatives this year, and is there anything that the con staff or anybody that they could change for next year that they maybe didn't pull off so well this year?
I didn't really deal with any negatives at all. Like, I mean, they did have an issue where they had a misprint on a bunch of the badges and things like that, which had the wrong time for Saturday because it said it started at 1, but it started at 10. But like that, my badge was right, so it didn't really matter. But no, I mean, like, Baltimore at this point is a pretty well-oiled machine. It's been going for such a long time with the same people running it that rarely do you run into certain issues or like things not going well. Like things are organized. They know what they're doing. You get in and get out. Even like the first day, like I was not waiting in lines that often. The worst thing I think is like sometimes when you have lines that like are impeding on like other tables and things like that. But they did a good job of like separating lines out, so like that didn't happen. So I didn't really have many negatives like that were con related. It was a little annoying. We had a lot of people outside, a lot of solicitors outside of the con, but you can't really do anything about that because it's, you know, it's that's out of the control of the con. So I didn't really have any major negatives at all this year. And like I said, Baltimore has been doing this for a while, so they kind of know what's up at this point in time. So.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So what are your final thoughts and are there any other cons you're going to in later this year? Well, this year is almost over, but 2025 and next year in 2026.
Probably I have not have any plans for any cons at all besides Baltimore. Cause it's, like I said, I'm in the area, so it's really easy to go to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's the WonderCon in DC and I always tell myself I'm going to go to that, but I never do. That's not until 2026, so maybe I'll do it this year. I don't know. So, yeah, like I said, if you're looking to go to a comic book convention and you're a comic book fan and New York is far too scary and San Diego is far too complicated with how, you know, inexpensive, Baltimore is a good option. It's a cheaper option, and I think you'll get your money's worth, you know, especially if you're looking for comics and, you know, you're looking to see comic creators of old and new. They have it. So, and I think, like you mentioned, next year it's like near the end of September. So it won't be too cold. So that's, you know, that's, and it's not too busy of a time of year. So, but yeah, so check it out.
Yeah. September 25th to the 27th, I believe, of next year is when it is without actually looking at the website.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to see what they're doing for the yearbook next year. Cause like I said, they did Bone this year, and I'm wondering, I'm hoping like 1 year it's, I don't know, I would be interested to see, because usually that impacts like who's coming. So I'm really hoping like next year it's like the criminal, like the, because it's always like an independent creator or independent property. So if it's something Ed Brubaker related, I'd be excited because that means he's going to the con. But I don't know, we'll find out.
I hate Fairyland.
Yeah, that'd be great too. The work of Scott Young. He's got
probably be the only way you get him there.
No, he's been there. Like I said, he's been there.
I remember you said he's been there, but I'm just saying it would probably be the only guaranteed way you could get him there next year.
Yeah, I mean, especially now because I think, like I said, I think he's West Coast. So
yeah,
I want him also like Mark Russell. He's one of my favorite creators too. I've interviewed him, but I've never met him in person. So
cool. Very awesome. All right. So where can the people find the Comic Concierge online, sir?
I just search most social media platforms. Most of my stuff is on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and all those great platforms.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. I think that's going to do it for us. So last time you heard, like I said, the top 100 animated series nominees for the 2000s. Obviously, you heard this episode recapping Baltimore Comic Con 2025. Next time will be the top 100 animated series 2010s nominees, or 2010s to present nominees. So that's what's coming up next. You can join our GCRN Discord. The link will be in the show notes. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com. We've got a whole bunch of content over there as well. As you can check out our shop.geekcastradio.com store. Shop.geekcastradio.com. I had to make sure I said it right. It's very simple, Mike. Come on, it's English. I don't speak English very well anymore. I can't speak any other languages either. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Comic Concierge Dan.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, unleash the geek in you.
You've just heard a podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback at geekcastradio.com, or interact with us on X at geekcastradio and on Facebook at GeekCast Radio Network. Don't forget to subscribe to the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.